Thank you, praise team, for drawing us into God's presence. And one of the beautiful ways to do that, I think, is through music. So I think when you share your music with us, you're giving us your testimony. So thank you for that. And those of you that are servers in the church, Chuck, and greet people, and the elders that set up chairs, and the people in sound, thank you for your gifting. You're putting it on display. My wife and I live at Pleasant View, which is, everybody knows that. We live in a cottage next to a parking lot. The parking lot accommodates people who come there from the outside of our campus to do gymnastics, or we have an indoor pool, we have a fitness room, and I would guess there's more people use those facilities than that are on campus. A lot of people. Last week, about 10 days ago, I stepped outside going to my job at the farm at 7:30 in the morning, and out of one of the buildings was coming a man without a shirt on. It was 36 degrees, like this morning, and the wind was blowing. I'm sure he had his shirt off because he wanted to be comfortable. But let me read into this some other things that may not be present, but it's kind of a setup for where we're going this morning. My sense was that he was showing off. Now, he was a bodybuilder, no question. If I tell you the car he got in, this would give the story away. He was a bodybuilder. He was there to build his body. And so this morning, we're going to spend some time on how we build bodies, not physical bodies, but the body of Christ. I think he's a good example of what was going on in the church of Corinth in the 12th chapter. Some people think their gifts are the only gifts that are out there, and they're the best gifts. And they're gifted in a lot of different ways. But there's also, according to Paul, there's also people who think that their gift has no place. They don't even know what it is. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at some of the vital signs in a church body. Oh, it's a nurse here. This may not work. But anyway, we're going to look at what does the body look like that's sick? Hope. We're going to see that. So thanks for being here. Our messages for the next several weeks will be dealing with the function of the church, how the church operates. So I'm hoping I'm not going to take away from somebody else's sharing. So I'm going to kind of do an overview this morning of that. Paul is very good in comparing the body of Christ to our physical bodies, which that's kind of me. I love to use the illustrations to share with us some deeper truths. So we'll see if that works this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts and the thoughts that we think just be acceptable to you, for you are our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I recall times when I was a teenager, a young teenager, I could tell you the number of push-ups I could do. And it got to be more than single digits. It got to be double digits sometimes. I can't even do one. But and chin-ups, it was a big deal. And to show off, I had a brother that was 3 years younger than I. We would put our push-up and chin-ups to work in the straw mile. It wasn't push-ups in a straw mile. It was wrestling. We've all gone through that stage, So in the coming months, or in the coming weeks, we're going to look at, across this lectern, we're going to look at things like preaching, teaching, serving. I got to looking at some of the gifts in the New Testament, and you probably know this before I share with you, but some of the gifts and giftings are mentioned, I think, four times in Scripture. Ephesians 4 is one of them. 1 Peter 4 is another place. Romans 12 is a place. And 1 Corinthians 12, which we're going to look at today. And I added up all the giftings in those four scriptures, and I got the count of 19. And some of those are duplicated, but the scripture also says that a believer may have more than one gifting, so there could be a lot of different combinations of this, so that gets to be an endless list. Functions of the early church is what we're going to dwell on. I think the church is the most powerful force for good in the world. But the church, that is the church as it originally was, or the church as it can be, and really the church as it should be. And I got some of this help from the news and from a book that I'm reading. The church today is, some people perceive it as being a religious country club with traditional rituals. You know, I can almost put names to people who hold to that idea of what the church is. Or the church is a political action group battling social ills. It is. Or a non-segregated waiting room for people who are taking the next bus to heaven. I can name people that are in the church because that's the way to heaven. That's not wrong, but they perceive the church as that. Or the church is a water boy to the game of life. Too often the church comforts people in sin and does not convict them of sin. Too often the church comforts people in their sin and does not convict them of sin. I think the church has and is always has been these things and is these things. But despite all the church's weaknesses, I think the church is still the most powerful force of good in the world. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And Mike talked about this a couple weeks back. I think the church is in some confusion today because we see the things that are seen and don't see the things that are unseen. That's natural. We see a suffering world. We see hate that is so obvious. We talked about that this morning. We see the injustice that is so prevalent. Last night, the program I was watching, which is Huckabee on television, was interrupted by a person from Israel who says, I'm a follower of Jesus. And he said, what you see now is, you need to see the unseen, which is very interesting to me. And he says that this fight with Israel is way deeper than what you see. And obviously we know that, because Israel is God's chosen people, and so he was predicting what might be the outcome of this. And so the seeing that we see, the seen, is we respond to it by saying, we got to do something. Let's get to work. But often we see things that are visible, and we treat those which are really just symptoms and not causes. And so we apply superficial remedies to kind of bring relief to that situation, which only lasts for a moment. And the one who has called us to a new life clearly sees things more clearly than we do. So, and the creator of the universe, Jesus, does not spend his time putting band-aids on cancer. He strikes at the root cause. God has designed his church so that it should influence the world. Too often the body of Christ, too often the church substitutes business methods, organizational procedures, pressure politics to influence the world. I'd like to hear these words, for you to hear these words, and you might want to follow in your Bible, from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verses, Belinda's going to read these for us.
And I think I'm loud enough without the mic, but I can do it if you want me to. All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 13.
Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink.
Thank you, Melinda. I'd like to spend some time on verse 7 in this chapter of 12, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, which reads, "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." But to each one, when the Bible talks about giftings, it usually refers to the fact that each one has a gift. You need to realize and accept that wasn't new to me, but each one of you has a gifting if you're a follower of Jesus. We may not know what that is, or we may know what it is and not using it, but each one. So each one in this verse is you. All of you who are Christians, and each of you individually. Who are the each ones? There are people who live under the lordship of Jesus, of Christ, who aim to think as Christ thinks, who aim to feel the way Christ feels, who aim to do what he says to do. They consult with him. They don't do what he forbids. They do what he commands. So when they fall short, when we fall short, we feel bad. We repent, we seek forgiveness. That's kind of the way it is. That's the each one. So the verse that we were reading uses the word manifestation, which I don't use that in my language at all. So what does manifestation mean? The dictionary said that manifestation means showing. It's putting out there forward for people to see. So the work of the church really is supernatural. When the work of the church is down to a science or when it's done only by human effort, I think man gets glorified. When it's supernaturally done, the Holy Spirit gets glorified. God gets glorified. Another phrase or word that I'm picking out of this verse is spirit. Melinda read several verses that all had the same phrase in, the same Spirit, the same God, the same Lord. We are different in our ministries, we are different in our giftings, but it's all from the same Spirit, the same, there's oneness there. And the last phrase I'd like to pick from this verse 7 is that it's for the common good. I think the Spirit doesn't give us gifts so that we can boast about them. Gifts are for the glory of God and for the good of the church. One gift is not superior to another gift. So Paul speaks of the church as a body. He makes it clear to us in his writings that no one joins that body except by a new birth, which is faith in Jesus. I love the word picture that Paul gives us of the church as being the body of Christ, the body. And I kind of went wild with this thing. And I thought, what if the church, what if the body of the church was an eyeball? This is going to go crazy. So now we have a 6-foot eyeball out here. So the eyeball can only get from place to place by rolling. We know eyeballs as being round. And so this eyeball is always in the dirt. Well, you know what it's like to have dirt in your eye? It's not a good thing. So, anyway, don't all be an eyeball. Eyeballs are important, but... Paul talks about the church as being a body, the body of Christ. So if God wants something done in the church or in the world, he has to find a man to do it. This is making the body. We often use the expression that we, the church, are his hands and feet. That's where I'm going with this. If he wants a child taught, he has to find a teacher. He has to find a Luann to teach them. If he wants a person cured, he has to find a, most of the time, he has to find a doctor that will do that. If he wants a story told, he has to find a man or woman to tell the story. Literally, the church has to be the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. So our physical body has kind of, this is probably not totally correct, but our physical body has, to me, four major systems. The skeletal system and the muscles, the nervous system, the digestive system, and the circulatory system. And I got some help out of this from a book by Ray Stedman called The Body Life. So the structural system, if we didn't have muscles and bones, we'd be like a jellyfish. That would be not good. So I think the skeletal system refers to the apostles in the spiritual body. Their work is foundational, it's skeletal. They form the basic function. Jesus called 12 men to be with him, and these 12 were the skeleton of the body. And this system of truths that they share with us are the bones and the muscles of the body. I think the nervous system might be the work of the prophets who are part of the body of Christ. This system, the prophet, is a directive system. It conveys messages to every part of the body. What the prophet said, what God taught, and the body of the church was motivated into activity by the prophets. Parts of the scripture are given to us by prophets. The digestive system, which kind of turns, in my mind, kind of turns food to flesh and bones. I don't know how that works. Eat a carrot and spinach and it, yeah, we're not going to go there this morning, but... So another event, another gifting in the church is the evangelist. Evangelists are men and women with the gift of communicating the gospel in understanding terms so that those who are not yet believers become believers. I think we have an example of that yesterday, those of you that were here in the evangelism conference. This ministry corresponds to the digestive system, which takes the food and transforms it into flesh and bones. An evangelist has the way of sharing the redemption story of Jesus in such a way that results in a new birth. Evangelist's task is to tell of the overwhelming grace of God. And then the last system, which is the circulatory system, or the veins and arteries linked to the heart and the lungs. They distribute food and oxygen to every part of the body. This corresponds to the pastors, the elders, the Sunday school teachers, the overseers. They maintain the life of the body of the church by feeding and cleansing it. What does keeping the body healthy look like? I think no athlete spends all his time playing the game. As a matter of fact, I think they spend way more time preparing than they do playing the game. They spend time keeping themselves in shape, developing their skills. So I'm not sure what a body looks like, what a healthy body looks like, the unhealthy body of the church. But let me try some things. There's probably no interchange with each other in an unhealthy body, the church. There's probably no exchange of thoughts. There's probably no discussion of truth. There's probably no opportunity to display Christian love. There's probably a lack of body life. A lack of body life. I keep thinking about the life of New Beginnings. You know, a lot was happening when you go to the Calhouns and split wood. There's more happening than wood being put into two pieces. There's more happening at New Beginnings at Teen Central, I think, before and after the worship hour than during the worship hour. That might be a cruel statement, but there's a lot happening. Body life. How do we know that there's good body life? What are some signs? Do we know each other intimately enough that we can confess our faults one to another? Do we admonish one another? Do we minister to one another? How do we keep the health? How do we keep the body life? How do we keep our body healthy in the church? Galatians 6:2, we bear one another's burdens, so that fulfills the law of Christ. How can Christians bear each other's burdens if they don't know what they are? It calls for honesty and openness with each other. It needs to be recognized that it is neither abnormal nor unspiritual to have burdens and problems. That was very helpful to me to have read that and to share that. It needs to be recognized that it's not unspiritual to have a burden or a problem. At New Beginnings, we really don't like masks. I say that because of the experience of COVID. But I think in the church, there's some masks that need to come off. Everything is all right is not a good mask to be wearing in the church, in my mind. Why do we wear an everything is all right mask when everything is not all right? But it goes against my grain, and probably our grain, to give an image of oneself that is not perfect, or that is less than perfect even. So a healthy body is necessary to be effective in our working, in our serving. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. We all tend to shy away from an unpleasant confrontation. I hate confrontations. It makes my blood pressure go up and I get a headache. I don't really get headaches, but whatever ache you get, it comes. So if someone in the church has an unpleasant habit or a consistent attitude problem, we are willing enough to talk about it to others, but seldom say anything to the person directly. Often the reason for our silence is, well, I don't want to hurt him, or I don't want to hurt her. But on the other hand, it's likely that each one of us has the experience of being grateful for a loving admonition of a friend who has helped us to see a blind spot in our life. So some of the vital signs of a healthy church, and we could add to this, and this is set in concrete. I think the vital sign of a healthy church is that the healthy church will help bear one another's burdens. They will confess their faults to each other. They will instruct and admonish each other in love. I think we have the right at New Beginnings to say, if you see anything in my life that doesn't line up with Scripture, I want you to tell me. That's an openness that can hurt. It is unrealistic for Christians to pretend that there are no differences among them. There is no group in the world that is so gloriously a mix as the church. The church has rich and poor, it has young and old, it has men and women, it has Jews and Gentiles, it has black and white, it has different viewpoints, it has personalities, it has different gifts. We have a tendency to belittle another's gifts and promote our own gifts, as was, I think, the case in the Church of Corinth. Often we feel that we are contributing to is more important and valuable than what somebody else is doing or contributing to. This isn't a new problem. The first century church had problems too. The Jews and the Gentiles were going at it most of the time. But at the end of the day, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus and the power that Christ gives us, everything kind of comes together. That's a commonness that we have. So as part of one body, we need each other. I'm a couple of months away from my fourth anniversary of an open heart surgery. I'm winding down here. In order to repair my heart, they needed to take a vein from my leg. This is all done in the same procedure. So one part of my body was giving to another part of the body. At the end of the second week, my leg was more painful than my open chest. But that's not the reason I was being worked on. This doesn't make sense. Some of the sense that it makes is that the heart, did you know this? The heart has no feeling. It has no pain. So when you say you have a heartache, I'm not sure what's happening. It isn't because your heart hurts. It must be something else going on. So I got to thinking with Paul, if my whole body was a heart, what would this look like in my case? Or if the whole body was a leg, what would that look like? You know, I think the neurospiritual is kind of leads us astray. The toe bone connected to the foot bone. I love the song. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the shin bone. Shin bone connected to the knee. The body isn't a combination of parts. It's an organism all working together for the same cause. So the vessel, the vein from my leg, it was used to mend the heart. I think the leg was saying, is there any way I can help you, heart? Now you're taking from me my supply line. This doesn't make sense. But yet you need my supply line so that you can feed me. It gets confusing. But maybe this is the way God has gifted the church. We need each other. All parts of the body share life together. It takes the work of each one of us to do what God has intended for the church to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your lesson this morning. We thank you for the church. And when you looked at Peter, you said in the early days of the church, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So thank you, Father, for your church, and help us as your followers to be an active part of that body. In your name we pray. Amen.